If you have your Bibles tonight, would you turn with me to Psalm 13, Psalm number 13. It's probably a familiar one for you. If you're not familiar with it in its entirety, it's just six verses. You're probably familiar with some of its theme, particularly its main thematic approach, which is a question. Question that the author poses. Now, the author is attributed as being David, King David, who wrote a great many of our Psalms, not all of them, but a good many of them, a good portion of them, and he writes, just like all the other psalmists have, with rawness and with, at times, this balancing of bleakness with hope, and he does that here in this psalm. It's one which poses a question and poses it in a rather direct way. And so there is linkage with this psalm to other passages indirectly, but then it fits well, I think, into the journey that we can walk at times. At least I've walked this journey, and I think that if we're all honest, maybe we have at times, particularly if we've gone through seasons of struggle, seasons of drought, seasons of pain, and seasons of worry, times when things just seem to be hitting us like crashing waves, and we can't get our breath, and we can't get our footing. And David is walking through a season like that when he pens these words. Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my adversaries will rejoice when I am shaken. But I have trusted in your loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Father, we're grateful for tonight, and we ask that your richness and your fullness and your complete grace would just overcome us tonight, that we might feel your warmth, that we might feel you in a special and a profound way. And we'll give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. It's in Christ's name that we do pray tonight. Amen. Just six verses, rather raw verses, rather pointed verses. I think that this psalm really fits into two portions. There's verses 1 through 4, and then there's verses 5 and 6. If we were looking at it in a technical sense, we would notice that there is a problem that has been presented, and then there is a solution, or at least a realization of a solution that's always been there that comes into play. Verses 1 through 4 tell of the problem, and they're longer than 5 through 6. Mathematically, they're longer. In four verses, the writer David asks a question four separate times. How long, O Lord? You know, he doesn't ask why. Isn't that interesting? Why, God? Why me? Have you ever asked that question or had somebody ask that question? Why is this stuff happening to me? David doesn't ask that. David doesn't ask why. David asks how long. In some ways, maybe he knows the answer why. Maybe the answer why has already been discovered, or maybe he's been in this season so long that the why doesn't matter anymore. For whatever the case is, the how is that which is imperative to him. The how is that which is hurting him. The how is that which is causing him pain. The how is the question that he wants answered of God, and he doesn't ask it one time. How long, O God? Which is to say, I have been in this position for an extensive amount of time. How much longer? How much longer? He asked it once, twice, three and four times. That ought to tell you how much torment he's in. He's asking God, how long do I have to endure this? He must think that his relationship is pretty sound, huh? Because he doesn't say, hey you, how long am I going to sit here in this position? But he still gives reverence to God. In the midst of his turmoil and in the midst of his trial and in the midst of his strife, he still reveres God and calls him God, Lord. He still recognizes the position that God has, and at the same time recognizing that he can't move from where he is because God has not moved him. That's a tough place to be in. You know, we like to have our answers. I like to have answers. I don't know about you. I like to have the response to give. That if there's a problem, I want to be able to solve it. That if I'm stuck in a position, I want to have the wherewithal as a man to get out of the position. David can't. David desperately, I think, wants to be able to have the unction to just pull up his britches and go. But he can't. How long, O Lord? And he says, how long will you forget me? Whew. I mean, that is vulnerability right there, I think, isn't it? David is completely vulnerable right now before God, and he's saying, how long will you forget me? Not how long are you going to just kind of leave me over here, but David is reflecting to God his feelings, and he feels. I'm not talking theologically, David knows better, yes, but he feels that God has forgotten him. A man after God's own heart, David is called. But yet at this time, at this moment, at that hour, at the pinning of these words, the raw emotion is coming out, and David says, how long will you forget me? How long will I stand here alone? Going further, saying, how long will you turn your face from me? When our children want something from us, they'll typically say, would you look at me? Because if I'm looking at them, then they know that they have my attention. But if they come into the room and they begin to tell the story of whatever it is that they're telling, they have lots of stories, don't they? And they begin to talk. And they begin to share. And I'll go, yeah, yeah. And I'm doing whatever I'm doing, you know. Yeah, I got you. Yeah, that's great. That's amazing. Her arm could be falling off, you know. That's great, honey. Wonderful. But if I have my attention to them, then there's a different type of communication that's going on. There's something else that is happening. And that's how David feels at this point. It's as if God is not even looking at him. he's moved on. I like movies that are a little bit psychological. They get you thinking a little bit. The movie Castaway with Tom Hanks, if you've ever seen that movie. If you haven't, it's been out long enough, and spoiler alert, I'm going to tell you how it goes, okay? It's been out for a long time now, so you missed the boat, if you missed the boat Castaway. It's up to you to have caught this movie already. So spoiler alert, Castaway is a movie starring Tom Hanks, and he plays a guy named Chuck. And Chuck works for FedEx, and he works a job not delivering packages, but he's, you know, he can kind of fix things and stuff. And so he has to take a flight to Malaysia, and the plane crashes, and he's the only survivor, and he's got all the FedEx boxes, and he's got the plane that has crashed, and he's on this deserted island. And when he first crashes, no doubt he's thinking, they'll be by any moment. They're looking for me. And the days turn into weeks, still thinking they'll be by for me. And the weeks turn into months, they'll be by for me. 4 years pass, 4 years pass, and finally Chuck has had enough. He has come to the realization that they have forgotten about him, or that he is alone, that they're not looking for him, that they have given up on him. And so he creates a raft and he sails out, eventually being discovered by a cargo ship, and he's reunited and he's put on the news, and his girlfriend Helen Hunt has moved on, and he must move on now. And it's this wonderful, sad but yet story of you know, the reconnection of life. And here's this man that is stuck on an island and completely forgotten about. His death certificate is written. They've had a funeral for him. All of this stuff has happened. He's been left alone, if you will. David feels a lot that way when he's penning this psalm. I wasn't there with him when he wrote it, and I don't have his side notes, but his language is pretty raw. His language is rather vulnerable. How long shall I take counsel in my soul? In other words, how long shall I try to find the strength? How long shall I try to weather the storm, God? How long shall I try to pursue and press on? Having sorrow in my heart all the day. Not a portion of the day I'm feeling sad, God, but all day long. Going through this, I'm finding no restitution. I'm finding no point of stability. I'm finding no place where I feel as though when I am breathing air and I wake up in the morning, it's the same narrative for me over and over again. God, how long are you going to leave me in this situation? It's a rather startling question. And it's interesting that he's able to ask it. It's interesting that he feels that his relationship with God is strong enough to where he can ask such a question. And he writes, "How long will my enemy be exalted over me?" The last of those four questions. How long will my enemy be exalted over me? He picks that up also in verse 4.
by saying, "And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my adversaries will rejoice when I am shaken." Oh, shaken. Shaken. In other words, when I am rattled, if you've ever been rattled, if you've ever been stirred, and just you have this unsettledness there, everything feels as though you're just on shaky ground. There's no foundation. That's what David is writing about. And he talks twice about the enemy. Now, we don't know what enemy David is necessarily referring to. We don't know the situation that 13 has been written. But knowing the arc of David's life, and David is one of those that we have just a wealth of information about. We have so much on David. So much was cataloged. His placement in the Old Testament, his placement in God's story, in the story of God's people is just outstanding. So we can read and we can kind of gain and know probably two situations that David is going through at this time. Who his enemies are, who his adversaries, who are the faces of his adversaries, who is his enemy. And both times, it's when David is fleeing. The first is when he's fleeing Saul. You see, David is going to be king, but there's still a king in place. His name's Saul. And Saul desires nothing but to see David dead. And he hunts him. And he searches for him. And he seeks to find him so that he may kill him. And David spends a good portion of his time running from cave to cave and valley to valley and point to point, hiding behind trees and rocks. He has a group of people that he's with. But Saul has the entire government at his disposal. But yet David's fleeing is successful. And ultimately, Saul dies and David assumes the throne. And then, later in David's life, he has another enemy, one that was more close to home. You see, it's one thing if you have your best friend's dad who is your enemy, which Jonathan was his best friend. Saul was Jonathan's dad. But it's another thing if you have an enemy that's in your own home, and that was Absalom. Absalom is David's third son, and he rises up against his father seeking to take the throne. His people pitted against David's people. David flees. He runs. Once again, pursuit for his life. His enemy is his own son. And ultimately, Absalom dies as well. So it was probably one of these two situations. Both of them heartbreaking for David. Both of them meaningful times in his life that shaped him. Both opportunities in his life whereby he can feel the very core of who he is, and he has to draw into question himself and God. And in verses 1 through 4, David draws into question God. It's hard to say that, isn't it? And I think that we like to avoid such a question. I think that we like to avoid such a realization that there are times when we have to draw God into question. Because we're not supposed to draw God into question, are we? But yet David does. And I have. I've drawn God into question. God, how long will this go on? The same question that David asks. David says there in verse 3, "Enlighten my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death."
In other words, this season that he is going through is going to kill him, he feels. If he continues in it, it will be the death of him. It could also mean death might be welcomed at this point. It's got to be better than this. God, I feel that you've turned your eyes away from me. God, I feel that you've forgotten me. How long are you going to do this, Father? How long?
And so here is a man that is broken at this point. His enemies have surrounded him. And he's asking the question of how long? How long is this going to go on?
Now verses 5 through 6, the tone shifts. The problem is how long this is going to go on. The solution is that God is faithful. Because what does David say? "But I have trusted in your loving kindness." Do you notice the word of transition? B-U-T. How long, God, will you let me go through this? How long, God, am I going to be tormented? How long, God, are you going to hide your face from me? How long, God, are you going to be silent to me? How long, God, am I going to feel that you have rejected me? How long, God? But you're faithful. But your loving kindness is faithful. But in the midst of this storm that I am walking, but in the midst of the questions that I'm asking, I still recognize that you are strong enough, that you are powerful enough, that you are sovereign enough, that you are wonderful enough, that you are full of love to the extent that you will rescue me. May not be the way I expected, God. But you will.
"My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord."
Do you notice what David does there? What I'm feeling on the inside, my heart, is going to be expressed in my voice. The same mouth that is asking the question of how long, the same mouth that is vulnerable to say, "God, I am feeling vulnerable. I am feeling left alone. I am feeling as though you've forgotten about me." The same mouth that does that is the same mouth that sings. David is having a real experience with God. David is having a time with God to where he is saying, "God, I just need to rant at this moment. I feel dead, God. I feel as though I don't hear you anymore. I feel as though you're not looking at me anymore. I feel as though I can't function anymore. How long will this go on? But I'm going to sing anyway. Because I know that your loving kindness, I know that your faithfulness, I know that your steadfastness, I know that you remain with me." Sometimes what we're feeling and what we theologically know collide. And sometimes we have to walk through those emotions, and that's what David has had to do here. He's had to take the raw emotion of what he feels, and he's had to confront it with the God that he knows. And in the end, even though he feels God has left him alone, even though he feels God has turned his face, even though he feels God has forgotten him, he knows. But God, your loving kindness, I can trust. Because he has dealt bountifully with me. Because he has dealt bountifully with me,
You see, what David has done here is he has reflected back on all the good that God has done. We do this at times, don't we? Whenever we're walking through a season of just kind of just feeling down, I do this, and I go, I'm just not feeling it, God, but you've been faithful. But you have dealt bountifully with me. But you have provided me with the best of everything, God. But you have delivered me, God. But you have sorted out my affairs when I have loused them up, God. But you have dealt so bountifully with me. God, I have found a treasure chest, and you've put it there. You've been so faithful, God. And so David's journey is much like our journey. A journey of that at times is mixed with feelings of hopelessness. But in the midst, we know that we are full of hope because we serve the God of creation. And that's how David is feeling, but David knows better at the same time. Jesus from the cross mentions similar words, doesn't he? My God, why have you forsaken me? But in the end, resurrection was his. And in the end, life was restored. And in the end, for us, just the same, we enjoy the resurrection of everlasting life. And the seasons of life that we can often walk through the story of Psalm 13 over and over again in our life. But God remains the same. But God remains faithful. But God remains loving. But God remains kind. But God remains an ever-present ear and help for us. And that even in the midst when we say, God, I feel as though you're rejecting me, God stands there and says, say what you have to say, my child. But I'm listening. But I'm here. But I'm faithful. As the praise team joins us again this evening, we give you an opportunity tonight at this hour, at this moment, at this time, on this Sunday evening, looking ahead at the week, of asking God for added strength, of asking God to come alongside and to maybe walk you through a season when you're asking the question of how long? How long is this pain going to last? How long is this torment going to be here? How long, God, am I going to feel as though I don't hear you? But He is faithful. Would you stand with me this evening as we sing? The altars are available for you should you desire to ask the question of God, how long, or to simply praise His name and say, but God, you are faithful. The altars are here for you as we sing this evening.
Hymn number 35.